We're going to talk about cases where you hired a worker and he did the job, but some onus happened, some unavoidable accident happened before you could deliver it, and he couldn't give it to you. There's cases that it seems to be a popular case. I found five different contemporary strong to go on it, and they have different shoes.
The guy wasn't safe, wasn't safer or printed it wrong.
Well, printed it wrong that we spoke about. But here it's talking, here, I'll give you a case. The Tshuva Shai. Someone gave wheat to a mill to grind it up. And this guy grinds his own wheat along with the wheat that he gets in. He grinds them all together, and at the end he gives the flour to the customer.
So you don't necessarily get flour.
Yeah, it seems that way. Or maybe he puts it in separately. You'll see why that's part of the case that happened. It was a Maaseh Shehaya. But what happened was that the whole millstone burned down. So the case there was, he claimed that I worked for your, to grind your wheat, so you have to pay me for the work, even though it all burned down. And the person who gave the wheat said, no, you just ground your own wheat. Mine you didn't touch, so I don't have to pay you. Okay, so the question is, do you have to pay him at all for his labor in grinding your wheat if you didn't get it at the end? Another case, the Divrei Gaonim brings a case that Reuven got a contract from the governor to make clothes for the... Okay, so this is the second case that Reuven got the contract for the federal contract, the government contract to make clothes for whatever, for the soldiers, say. So Reuven isn't a tailor himself, so Reuven gave the material to Shimon to sew the wool. So Shimon went and sewed all these uniforms, and days later this officer, the governor, comes in to Shimon's store and he sees the uniforms that he made. He said they're no good, and he just took them away and burnt them. And Shimon went to Reuven and said, look, I want my pay. I did what I was supposed to do. I went and I sewed them, and I did what was right. I did your specifications, so I should get paid. It's not my fault that the officer went and burned them down. And okay, we'll say that, you know, the first case there was a dispute. We're going to be talking tonight where there was no dispute. Okay, or let's just say our own case. You know, we could imagine such a case is that you give your suit to the cleaners to clean, and the cleaners has a fire. You know, it happened this year, and so you'll get insurance for your suit, but you have to pay the cleaners for cleaning it before it burned down. Or you take your car to a mechanic, and he fixes your car, and it gets stolen, and you never see the car again, and the insurance pays for the car. Do you have to pay the mechanic for fixing the car, even though you didn't get the benefit of the fixed car? Right? That's the general theme. We'll also deal with whether the worker is responsible for the damages. Right? But assuming that he's not responsible for the damages, we'll talk about that. Do you have to pay for a work that you did not get any benefit from? Right, that's tonight's topic. The Gemara starts Mishnah Bav Masiyah, and it says clearly, Kol ha'umanin shomrei sachar hing. An uman, a craftsman, has a din of a shomer sachar. But we know there's four shomrim, there's four watchmen. So shomer chinam watches something for nothing, and he's not responsible for anything except shia, except for negligence. A shomer sachar is getting paid to watch, and because of that, he's more responsible. He's responsible even for Geneva Veda. He's responsible for a theft or a loss to the item. And then there's Socher, which we're going to see in the Gemara in a second. A Socher is someone who rents a car, an item from another person. So there's a Machlokes in the Gemara, we'll see in a second, whether he has a din of a Shomer Chinam or a din of a Shomer Socher. And then there's a Shoel, the borrower, who's responsible for everything, except for Mesa Machas Malacha, if it breaks while he's using it in the normal way. Okay, so the Mishnah says clearly that an Uman, a craftsman, has a din of a Shomer Sachar. So right away, answering in all these cases we spoke about, is the craftsman responsible? Well, if it was a theft, he will be responsible to pay, unless it was an armed robbery, because Gemara says an armed robbery is like an onus, which Hashem Yisrael is not chayiv on. So he's going to be responsible for a theft, or if you got lost, certainly if it's a pshia, he'll have to pay the owner for the loss. But if it's a fire, or the governor came and burned the suits because he didn't like the way they were made, he couldn't do anything about that. So in that case, the uman would not be responsible. Right? Now, why is an uman a shomer sachar? He's not getting paid to wash the suit, he's getting paid to do a job. Right? When he's getting paid, right, if you go to these storage things, so they're watching, you're paying them per month to watch your stuff. But if you're getting paid to fix someone's car or wash someone's suit, there you're not getting paid to watch it, you're getting paid to wash it. You're getting paid to do the work on it. So the Gemara at first wants to say that uman, a craftsman, is like a socher. He's like someone who's renting something. Just like when you rent the car from someone. Why do you have a din of a shomer sachar if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda? You have a din of a shomer sachar. Even though you're getting some benefit, you have the use of the car, but you still are having a benefit, and even though you're paying, you still have the benefit for the use of the car, you still call it a shomer sachar. So same thing the uman. Even though he's getting paid to do the job, but since this suit is going to give him a profit, so he's called a shomer sachar for that, because he's getting that profit. Not so much because he's getting paid to watch it, but because this is the vehicle through which he is going to, this is the instrument through which he's going to profit, so he's watching this for a profit, that profit that he's going to get. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's simple why he's called a shomer sachar. But the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that a socher is considered only a shomer chinam because you look at the fact that he's not getting paid to wash the car, he's getting the benefit of the car because he's paying. So same thing in woman, a craftsman should not be called a shomer sachar because his pays for his work, not for what he's watching it. So the Gemara says, you can even say Rabbi, it even goes like Rabbi Meir, and the craftsman will be called a shomer sachar because he can hold on to that object to get his pay. You say, look, if you want your suit back, pay me, then I'll give you your suit back. You want your car back, pay me, I'll give you your car back. So he has a benefit of holding that as a mashkon, like, to get paid. The difference between the two reasons would be if he had got paid in advance. So then, according to Rabbi Meir's reason, he wouldn't be a shomer sachar anymore because he has no gain from holding this object. He got paid already. But according to the first reason, and which is what the poskim seem to say, any craftsman is considered a shomer sachar because the thing that he's holding was his instrument for him to get the profit. So because of that, he's called a shomer sachar. Now, the Sma, we have on the first page of the handout, wants to say that this only applies by a kablan, not by a schir yom. And the Shach disagrees and he says it applies to any type of worker, any type of craftsman, whether the craftsman is getting paid to finish the job, fix my watch and I'll pay you a lump sum, or he's getting paid, look, I have a lot of things here to clean, I'll pay you per hour. Either way, the craftsman is like a shomer sachar. So in all these various cases, we said, you have to look at what type of damage occurred to the item he was fixing. If it was something that was unavoidable, it's an onus, so then this uman doesn't have to pay. If it was something that it was a theft, Gneva or Aveda, and certainly a Pshia, so he'll have to pay for that object. Okay, so that's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward.
Why would you think a Kavlan and a alley worker is different?
Well, the smart thing is different because a Kavlan, you could say he's getting paid for this object to fix. So you could look at this object as his vehicle. This is his vehicle to get his pay. But if he's getting paid per hour, it's the time, it's the clock that he's getting paid from, not from this from this object. The Shach says, no, but you know, the thing that you're working with is why you're getting paid per hour. So either way, you're called the shomer sachar. And that's, I think everyone goes with the Shach. The Shach says, I don't find any posek that makes this chiluk. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. An uman is only a shomer sachar. So now comes the issue that we wanted to talk with, which is not straightforward at all. And that is when these things happen, when an unavoidable incident happens, do you have to pay the guy? Do you have to pay the worker? Right? He has to pay. He doesn't have to pay you for whatever happened because it was an onus. In the cases where it's an onus, right? The garage burns down. The governor came and burnt the suits. The millstone burnt down with the wheat. Right? All these things were unavoidable. The car got stolen from the garage as with an armed robbery. Right? It wasn't that. You know, it wasn't watched well enough. The lock got picked. Right? They came with an armed robbery and stole his antique car. Right? So you have to pay for the work in such cases. He doesn't have to pay you for the loss of the item because he's only a Shomer Sachar, but you have to pay him for the work even though you did not benefit from it. Now, it's just all these contemporary Svarim I have over here, including one I just got today from New York, they have different ways of looking at it. But the one issue that they all deal with is something we mentioned about Derech Agav a few weeks ago, that the concept of Uman Kon B'Shvach Kli. Right, there's a Gemara about Metziah I have on the last side, on the last thing on the first page of the handout, about Metziah Kufyot Bezamad Aleph. It's also Gemara about Bava Kama. It's where the main sugi is. The Gemara has a Shaila. Bo'imi Neymei Rav Sheshes. They had a Shaila, they asked Rav Sheshes. Kablonus. If someone is being paid as a kablon, over a love, Mishum Baal Tolin, does an employer violate the Isra Baal Tolin if he doesn't pay him in time? Right? If he doesn't pay him that night for the work that he finished that night, or by day for the work he finished by day? Oh, ain't over Mishum Baal Tolin, or does he not violate the prohibition of Baal Tolin? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is, when a kablan is fixing your car, or cleaning your suit, grinding your wheat, or one last case we'll talk about, he's typing your sefer on a computer diskette. Right? When a kablan is doing that, does he acquire the improved value of the kli? Right? How do you look at his work? One way is to say that he had an empty diskette which was worth 90 cents, and he went and typed a sefer on it and made it worth a CD-ROM, and he made it worth $300, $500. And at the end, he sells that to you when you pay him that $500. So whenever an uman is improving your product, it's really like he's selling it to you. You have a dirty suit, which is worth $93, and he cleans it, and now it's worth $100. So you pay him that $7 that he improved the value, because he acquired that extra value. It's a whole shaila whether he acquires just the extra value or the whole thing. And then it's like a sale. And if it's like a sale, it won't be subject to Baal Tolin, like we mentioned a few times.
That's Tolin dying the
world. Right, last week. Right, like that has to do with, yes, there we said if it was his own wool and his own everything, so then it was a sale, it wouldn't be subject to Baal Tolin, right? So here we're saying, even if it's your wool, do we look at your wool that he's dying as that he now, what's the Shiloh weather, color is called Shvach, the Gemara talks about, but assuming it is, do we say, well, the wool was only worth $10, and now when he dies it's worth $20, he now owns that improvement, and when he gives it back to you and you give him the $10, he's really selling it to you. That's if you hold Uman Kone B'Shvach Kli. It's like a loan. You owe him the money as a loan. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Or do we say, that's a funny way to look at it, he doesn't acquire it. When the wool goes up in value, when the diskette goes up in value, when the raw wheat goes up into value and becomes flour, when the threads go up in value and become a suit, when your car goes up in value when it's fixed, or your suit when it's washed, it's your suit that went up in value. It's your car that got improved. It's your diskette that got improved. It's yours, and you're paying him for the job he did. And in that case, the kablan would be just like any other worker. He's being hired to improve your item, like he's mowing your lawn. He's making your suit worth more, so you have to pay him as a worker, and it will be subject to Baal Tolin. So that's a shaila in the Gemara. Now, what's it have to do with us? It could have a lot to do with us. because you hear what it might have to do with us.
Well, it's kind of dead.
And it gets destroyed.
Until you're kind of back, you don't have to own it.
Because you never owned it.
Right.
Right? If you hold, the woman acquires the gain. And he did his job, and the thing got burned down. So why should you have to pay him for his work? You never got any benefit from it, because he owned that improved item. You just owned the old one that was broken, or that was just raw wool. You just owned that old thing. He owned the new suit that got stolen. So when it gets stolen or burnt or whatever, it's his thing that got lost. You don't have to pay him. But if you hold an uman is not kind of a shvachli, if the uman does not acquire the improvement of the item that he's fixing, that means that it's my thing that's improving in value. It's my car that is now fixed that got stolen. It's my threads that became a suit that got stolen. It's my suit that got stolen. It's my finished CD-ROM that got stolen. So then I should have to pay him because my thing got stolen. He gave it a good shmirah. He washed it properly. And I should have to pay him for his work, right? That would be one way of looking at it. Now, the idea that you should get paid even though you didn't accomplish anything, that's not so far in, because the regular halacha, the poskim say, v'shar mesachar, you hire someone to watch your item, and if there's an onus that happens and he's parted from paying, you have to pay him his wages because he did what he was supposed to, and it's not his fault that a fire broke out, and he gets paid. Or they bring a gemara that if you hire people to take the shekel, the maksas shekel to Yerushalayim, and an onus happened all along the way, you have to pay them because they did their job. It's not their fault that this onus happened. Right? So that's not such a foreign idea that you should have to pay someone even though you didn't get the benefit. The question over here is, though, when it's your item that was being improved, if you hold that the uman is kona, if the uman acquires the improvement, so then I have a way out, possibly. I could say, it's your thing that got stolen. My thing wasn't improved. I shouldn't have to pay you. Right? So there are poskim that say that. Now, how do we paskin about uman kona b'shvachli? Right? What do we paskin? So that's a machlokas. On the second hand, the second side of the handout, the Shulchan Aruch passes clearly. If someone gave wood to a person to make a box or a closet and it broke through the fault of, say it was the fault of the worker, so the worker has to pay him the value of a finished product. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein woman kana b'shvachli, the woman doesn't acquire the shvach, that finished closet that he made belongs to the owner, and when he broke it through his pshia, through whatever, that is his responsibility, he has to pay the owner the full value of the finished product because it's the owner's. Right? So Shulchan Aruch clearly paskins, and uman acquires the, and uman does not acquire the shvach of the kli, and that's why he has to pay the full value because it belongs to the owner. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would seem that in this case, where he didn't break it, but some onus happened to it, the owner would have to pay him. The owner would have to pay for the finished project because it was his thing that got stolen. It was his thing that got unavoidably damaged. The shach, though, on the spot there in Shin Vav, says, I think it's a sfeika d'dina. And he has a long shach there, and if it was from the Rush, that the Rush holds that the Gemara did not answer the Shaila. The Gemara had the Shaila and it never answered it. It's a Safek, a Sveika Adedina. And whenever you have a Sveika Adedina, the rule is whoever is the Muchsuk wins. Because if I'm holding the money, you want to take the money from me, so prove to me that Allah is the other way and I'll give you the money. Hamasi Mechaver Al Varaya. Right? Or Kimli, I hold like this Shita. Right? Prove to me that Shita is wrong and then I'll give you the money back. So, based on this based on this machlokas, there's a Divrei Gaonim. Right, the Divrei Gaonim is postig lived a couple hundred years ago. He brings a tshuva from a Torah's Chesed. He says, and he brings this case, the case of the Reuven had gotten the contract from the government to make 100 uniforms. Reuven hired Shimon to sew the uniforms. Reuven gave him the material, and Shimon was sewing it. he finished the 100 uniforms, and the governor comes and sees that they weren't the way he wanted them, and he burned them down. So the Divrei Gaonim says, since it's a machlokus, whether we hold uman kone b'shvach kli, it's a machlokus. If you hold that Shimon owned the uniforms, so then why should he get paid? He owned them. It's Shimon's thing that got burnt, not Reuven's. So according to that, Shimon wouldn't deserve any pay. And since it's a sveika d'dina, the Shulchan Aruch holds maybe that it's Reuven's. Shimon doesn't hold it. It does belong to Reuven. According to Shulchan Aruch, it could be that Reuven would have to pay Shimon because it's his uniforms that got stolen. But Shimon can say, I hold like the Shach. I hold like the Shach who says it's a safek, and I hold that I'm the one that had suffered the loss. It's my uniforms that got burned. So Reuven could say to Shimon, you acquired it. It's your things that got burned. I don't want to pay you. Shimon is saying to Reuven, I hold like the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's your thing that got burnt. Right? I didn't acquire it. It's your material that I improved in value. It's your thing that got burnt. I did the job. Pay me for it. But Reuven can counter and say, no, Kimli, I hold like the Shach, like the Mandarma that says that the woman does acquire. You acquired the improvement. It's your thing that got burnt. I just had raw wool. You didn't do anything for me. Until I receive it, I don't have any improvement. It's your thing that your improved finished product that got stolen, so I don't have to pay you. And he ends up, the Divrei Gaon ends up that's a good taina.
You can't give him the raw wool.
Well, he hasn't given the raw wool either because he's a Shomer Sachar and this was an onus. He doesn't have to give him a penny. I mean, so Shimon doesn't have to pay Reuven anything for the loss of the wool, and Reuven doesn't have to pay Shimon for the work that he did. But Shimon doesn't have to pay Reuven that everyone agrees with, because he's a Shomer Sachar, and this was an onus. So he doesn't have to pay for the loss of anything. Now, does Reuven have to pay Shimon for the work? So Reuven can say to Shimon, I didn't never got any benefit from the work. It's your thing that got stolen. Okay, so that's the way the Divrei Gaonim. He says it's going to be totally in this machlokus. This is the way this new sefer I got, the Mishpat Shlomo, just came out. Actually, this volume came out earlier, but a new volume just came out of it. He gives this case. If someone gave linen to a tailor, and then a fire broke out after he finished the suit. So he says, I'm sorry, he's going to say different. Okay, but that's what the Divrei Gaonim says. We'll just do one earlier post, and then we'll see the way the contemporary ones. The Tshuva Shai that we spoke about before, the case of the millstone. His whole issue there is, I don't trust you to say that you milled my wheat. Maybe it was only your wheat that you milled and mine wasn't milled. And he says that's holy in some machlokas, but you see from the Tshuva Shai that if I agreed, if there was no machlokas, there was no dispute whether you actually milled my wheat, I'd have to pay you. The only dispute there was that it said, prove to me that you milled my wheat and not your wheat. But if I know that you milled my wheat, then I would have to pay you. Right? So how's he deal with the Divrei Gaonim's taina? Why don't we say that, look, I hold like Uman Kona Bishvach Kli. Let the owner of the wheat tell the millstone owner that I hold that Uman Kona Bishvach Kli and I never got any gain. So to answer that, there's a ktsos. And the ktsos says that this in the Uman Kona Bishvach Kli is like a legal type of ownership. It's not a real ownership. It doesn't mean that I actually own it. It only means that I own it in relation to certain halachas. For example, it means that you can maybe kaddish and isha with it. Just like if you have a mashkin, you can maybe use it for kedushin, even though you don't own it, but you could give her whatever benefit there is to make a kedushin. So the same thing over here, if you hold uman kona b'shvach kli, he says the lashon, it's not a kinyan gomer. It doesn't mean that you actually own it. It really belongs to the real owner. You just have certain rights to it. Once it's in your possession, you have rights to use it for a kedushin to be mekadesh and isha. So based on this ketos and others that also limit what uman kana v'shvach kli means, so based on that, this Mishpat Shlomo, which I just mentioned, he says that it's not a sveika didina. He says that even if you hold uman kona b'shvach kli, even if you hold the uman acquires that benefit, it doesn't mean that he becomes the owner of it. The real owner still owns it. It's the real owner's suit that got cleaned, that got sewn together, this car that got fixed, this disket that got improved. You, the uman, have some rights to it. You can be Mekadosh and Isha with it. But it's really still his, it's really the owner's property. And if it got destroyed through an onus, the Shomer Sachar doesn't have to pay you for it, and you have to pay him for his work, because he did the job. He made your suit, he cleaned your suit, he milled your wheat, and he fixed your diskettes. He wrote the sefer on the diskette. Right, that's the way the Mishpat Shlomo comes out. I have other, these contemporary poskim, the Siva Sakhar goes on it. There's one Shuvan the Shur Zedin who ends up as being a Sveika Zedin, and he could say Kimli. So just summarizing what we have is, it's pretty straightforward. An unavoidable thing happens for sure. The Uman does not have to pay because he's Lashomer Sachar, he's Pater from Onsim. Do you have to pay him? Well, the Pashas, you should have to pay him because he did the job. He fixed your suit, he fixed your car, he did whatever he was supposed to do, and you had the, you owned that benefit. However, if you hold an Uman is Kona B'Shvach Kli, then you have maybe a right to say, to tell the worker, I never got any benefit. It's your thing that got improved. What should I pay you for? You didn't do anything. You made your suit better. You made your car better. I never took ownership of it, which is the way the Divrei Gaonim paskin. But the other poskim are saying, even if you hold uman kona b'shvach kli, it's just a limit, like the Ksos says, it's only a limited form of ownership. It doesn't mean that he really owns it. It's really I that own it. And if it's my thing that got damage, I have to pay you for it because you did the work, and I should have to pay you for it. And that would seem to be the way most would conclude, although there is this one contemporary post that said not like that.
So
everyone, you know, the maskon is that it is bought only by a kabbalah in either case, either way. So I want to just say over this one last case and see if we can get it. Right? Let's talk about this case of the diskette. I hired someone to write a sefer for me. I gave him my ksav yad, my handwritten notes, or I asked him to scan some svarim onto a diskette. Right, this same sort of case. He did it, and the case that the Schwitz talks about in his sefer Mishpatei Halacha, Mishpatei HaTorah, he says, on the way to the delivery, the FedEx car got crashed and fell into the river, and all the things got destroyed. Do you have to pay the computer worker for the typing hours that he spent or she spent?
Right, a diskette.
That's the trick question, right? That's in most cases, it's, you know, this going to be their diskette. I'm giving you the materials. You put it on your diskette. So we spoke about already a couple of times. If I don't give anything to the worker, it's the worker's, all the worker's materials. The worker's doing it all himself. Like this case, the worker's computer is putting it on his diskette. So then it's no longer employment, it's a sale. Right? We're not talking about umnos anymore. We're not talking about tzchiras or polim. We're talking about a sale. So if it's the computer person's diskette, so then for sure I don't have to pay him because I never got the goods. Right? It's a sale.
The
Yeah, but it's
I typed it on his own computer and that, so that's his own.
Even if it's a diskette also. The chiddush is the other way. The chiddush is if, suppose I gave him a diskette. Right? I said, here's a diskette, I have my things typed on it, I want you to make it into a safer, you know, put it on a different program, format it, right? Work on my diskette. So in that case, even though I'm giving him a dollar diskette, But there, the worker's improving the value of Maitis Ket, so then it's back to being skirus again. And the raya to that is this ktos we spoke out a few weeks ago, who quoted Mara Sasson, the Taurus Emes, who said that if you hired someone to write a ksuba, and something went wrong with it, you didn't pay him, whatever happened, he said there's no batolin on that, because he's not a worker of yours. He's selling you a ksuba. Because it's his paper, it's his ink. There's nothing that of yours that he's working on. So based on that, the sketch should be the same thing. I'm giving you a $1 cassette. You might be making it worth $500. In that case, though, you're improving the value of my cassette. You're my employee. And then if that diskette gets burnt all along the way and you weren't poshe and not making a backup, so in that case, I would have to pay you if you hold Einuman come to the Shvach Kli, because it's my disket that got improved. And even if you hold Einuman is coming to the Shvach Kli, according to the Ketzos, that doesn't mean that he really has ownership of it. It's really yours. It's just that he has certain rights to be Mekadosh and Isha with it. According to the Rigonim, it would be a Sveiko Dedina, and you would not have to pay him, because you could say, no, I hold that it's yours, and it's yours completely. I mean, that would be the way the Rigonim looks at the other person, though, said that you would have to pay because it's your disket that got improved. But if it's, once again, if it's their disket, all the cases that we spoke about where it was your wool that they were making a suit, it was your wheat that they were grinding, that's employment. But if it's that person's disket, like we spoke about last week's case, we said if the thing belonged to, everything belonged to the worker, right, it's a sale, it's not employment anymore. Right, we said a case where he didn't do the right job. Right, so if you hired him to make a bookcase for you, we said last week, if it was his wood that was supposed to, he was making the bookcase and he made it not the way you wanted it, so you say, look, I don't want it, I'm not taking it, I don't want that thing that you worked. If it's my wood and you made it not according to specifications, so now it's my wood that improved in value, so I have to pay you like a yoreid or something, at least I have to pay you, I have to pay you something, right? We made that difference last week. So same thing will be over here. If it's the workers, all his materials, it's his computer, his diskette, his everything, so then it becomes a sale. It's not employment anymore. Once it's a sale, so for sure I don't have to pay him. Look, you didn't give me anything. Why should I? I didn't buy anything from you. If it's my thing that he's improving, so then there's a good case to be made that you should have to pay him because he did improve the value of your item. Your item is the item that got unavoidably damaged or destroyed. He doesn't have to pay you for not watching it well because he did watch it well, and you might very well have to pay him because he did do the job, your thing did improve in value, and then it got unavoidably lost. It's your car that got damaged by being stolen with an armed robbery. So that's the way it comes out.